Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is from Orlando, Florida. She's an inspirational TikTok DM who believes in the power of world building and healing through Dungeons & Dragons. She's partnering with Valiant Adventuring Co. to make affordable poster-sized battle maps. She's also running games for survivors of domestic violence to help them heal. Please welcome Punk Rock Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Nick. This is awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We're so excited. All the things that you're doing on TikTok and Instagram, and we're going to get into all that in just a second. But can you take us back to your very first experience with Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, I'm trying to remember. A long time ago, I used to tutor and help students, high school students, write college essays. And I learned a lot from them just about life and their experience through escapism and gaming, not just tabletop gaming, but PC games, and how it was so incredibly important to so many young people and how it got them through their hardest challenges. And at one point, I was writing college essays for a group of young men, and they invited me to play Dungeons and Dragons with them. And I thought, why not? I've always wanted to try something like this, but I had always felt that there was a stigma about it, that this was a game for nerds and math people, and this was not a game for me. I felt like I wasn't to be included in this community because I was a touring musician for years and years, and I'm so punk rock and stick it to the man. This isn't for me. And then I had the opportunity to try it, and I loved it. And I knew ultimately the goal for me would always be to be a dungeon master, because I had always created worlds in imaginary settings in my head as a writer and just being a lonely kid. And I couldn't wait to dive into it, and I couldn't get enough.
That is phenomenal. And so do you remember something that stood out to you in that very first experience?
I remember being overwhelmed by the rules, because it's such a... Even fifth edition, although we didn't play fifth edition at the time, even fifth edition is still, comparatively to a standard game, if you've never played a tabletop game, is so significantly rules heavy that was overwhelming to me. And I thought that is the biggest barrier to entry, for sure, for anybody trying to get into Dungeons and Dragons or tabletop gaming. And so that was my very first thought, is it's not the stigma that it's uncool. It's the sheer size of the book or the rule book that keeps people from playing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that it's always been the biggest problem is with a board game. It's a leaflet. It's a little pamphlet, at least the older board games. Now they have like thick adventure player guides for board games now, too. But yes, you're right. Those games, the dice, they're all real intimidating when you're first starting out. I agree with that. And so, fast forward, you're a mom. Jenny, how many children do you have, and how old are they?
I have just one, and he's 5.
Fantastic. And have you already introduced him to the world of tabletop role-playing games?
In a very light version, in a couple different ways. One, through the medium of Amazing Tales, which another D&D player that I used to play with actually bought for me as a gift. And he was very drawn to the character sheet for Amazing Tales. And that was really, really special to him. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to Dungeons and Dragons, is the character creation aspect and other tabletop games and Pathfinder. So he was very, very drawn to that. And we've kind of kept that. But we also kind of play fantasy scenario decision making, which is great as a parent, like try to choose the right thing and leave it open ended. But as you know, when you play with children, they generally choose chaos rather than like good versus evil or like do the right thing. It's something that you're like, oh. and so it's certainly has made me really step up my game as far as improvisation goes.
always love hearing from parents who enjoy Amazing Tales. My friend Martin Lloyd created that game, and
that's so cool.
We've had him on the show, and it is so awesome whenever I bump into somebody and they say, oh, Amazing Tales, because you're right. It's very rules light. It's very easy. And for younger children, it's an excellent starting point for tabletop role-playing games. And you can get it right on drivethroughrpg.com. Download the PDF. So that's super great.
I didn't know that
you're using that. Yeah. So
yeah, I have the physical book, and I think Martin, don't listen to this. We've only taken the character sheet and made photocopies of that and done that, and then I kind of looked through like page or two, and I was like, yeah, I'll make it up. But I mean, that's part of the beauty of it. It was just the character sheet system that we were so drawn to. But yes, if you're like a dungeon master or a parent or not a dungeon master, just a parent, and you want to play this game with your kids, you don't need to read through the whole book. You just need to find the parts. And this goes for all tabletop games. Just find the pieces that work for you.
Absolutely. Now, I have three. They're little stair steps, one right after the other. They're a little bit older now. They're 17, 16, 15 and a half. But when we started gaming, they were... very nerve-wracking. They started when they were 4, 3, 2 and a half. And I basically was left alone with them for an afternoon. And this is going to age me a little bit, but I had all the Wiggles that I could stand for one afternoon.
Yeah, fruit salad. Yummy.
Salad, right? Great hits like fruit salad. Absolutely. Yeah. And so we had all of that we could do for the afternoon. And I was like, how do I keep them entertained? Because none of them would take a nap at the same time. Like, that was impossible. So
sure.
45 minutes, I pulled out the maps, the miniatures, the character sheets, the DM's screen, the whole nine. And we had a ball. And from there, it took off. Back in those days, you had to water down Pathfinder or Dungeons and Dragons for their age groups. But now there's all these wonderful games like Amazing Tales that are available for that age group. Because I always get that question, how young is too young to start playing tabletop? And honestly, the answer is as early as you can. And so that's great.
Can they make decisions? You're ready.
And then all set to go. How is it that you started the Punk Rock Jenny DM inspirational TikTok? What was the catalyst that started that?
I'm really glad you asked that, Nick, because something I kind of don't think about because it seems like it was so long ago, but it really wasn't. I really only started on TikTok a few years ago, and maybe it was a couple of years ago. And so at some point I was playing a game of Dungeons and Dragons, a home game. It was a great game, but it wasn't the game I wanted to play, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes you're like, this is a good story, it's fine, but it's not the story I want to tell. And I wanted to tell a different story. And my friends and I, we decided that we were going to do a Twitch stream of a Dungeons and Dragons game, and I was going to get to tell a story that I wanted to tell. And I wanted to kind of document the journey because I kept running into like these roadblocks that these hangups that you get as a DM, right? As a DM, a lot of times we steal from everything, from books, from movies, from TV shows, from video games, from everything. And when you're doing a stream, you can't blatantly steal from other things the way you might want to. And so things had to be twisted around. And I wanted to document the journey and all the feelings and insecurities I had along the way about putting my world building and my DMing and my vulnerabilities out there. Because if you've never tried being a dungeon master, it's incredibly vulnerable to put your creativity on display with night after night after night of in-depth emotional role playing. We didn't have a silly game. We didn't have a dungeon crawl or a funhouse dungeon. It was a very intense emotional story. And that was the game I wanted to play. And so I wanted to document that journey of putting myself out there and inspiring other people. Well, I didn't know I was going to inspire other people, but it did. Inspiring other people to take up that mantle of DMing because they wanted to share their worlds. And so I started documenting the journey of doing the Twitch live stream. Ultimately, the Twitch live stream fell apart, and the timing of it falling apart was actually really excellent because it was at like an extremely tumultuous time in my life. And it really coincided with me finding the right players who I probably should have been at the table with all along. And wow. So it lasted for a good 10 episodes, and documenting that journey, for whatever reason, just those really honest, like me sitting in my car talking on my phone about how I feel about dungeon mastering, resonated with a lot of people. And I was really surprised. I thought it was just me being like, well, Gary Vaynerchuk said I should film this, so I will. But it really resonated with a lot of people, and I was surprised.
I think that's really great. And it's always surprising when we put ourselves out there, whether it's in TikTok or podcasting or just on the internet, and saying, hey, this is something that I'm passionate about, that I care about, and you put it out there. Now, as a songwriter and a performer, you used to being out in front and on stage. Now, how did that influence your dungeon mastering?
I immensely enjoy being the center of attention. So being a performer or being the dungeon master is a really good fit for me. And sometimes when I'm a player, I have to rein that in, right? And I have to smack myself and be like, yo, make room for everybody else at this table. Do not get so wrapped up in your own main character syndrome. And that's, you know, something I have to be critically self-aware of when I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with my friends. And so especially when I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with my especially nerdy friends, here I am, this bizarre, like thespian loud person, and they're doing like some sort of complex math problem on the side of the table, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? And so I think it certainly lends itself well to not being afraid to be silly and not being afraid to be sometimes vulnerable and not being afraid to put it all out there in a performance.
I think I'd be doing the folks at home an injustice if I don't follow up with this next question, which of course is, Jenny, have you played a bard, and have you sang or played an instrument at the table?
Of course I have. Of course to both. Yes to both. I'm a big fan. I'm a bard main, and I enjoy singing at the table, and I encourage singing at the table. And I'm lucky enough to play Dungeons and Dragons with people who sing with me at the table. And music is a significant part of the immersion of our game.
Now, a lot of dungeon masters out there, they try really hard to focus on the rules and making sure turn order and things like that. I was hoping that you could give some advice about your engaging all of the senses, like adding music and sound effects and things like that to the table to help with the immersion. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
I think I have this saying, and I'm sure you might say it too, and it's, there's a table for everybody. There's no like set way to have fun when playing a tabletop game. And for some people that are super strict on rules, and I'm pretty rules as written. Everyone's like, hey, you got a new rule of cool. And I'm like, you know what? This book's pretty good too. And I'm pretty rules as written. But once you've played the game enough, the rules will come naturally. And it's not your job as the dungeon master to be the rules police. You're all the rules police. You need to all know the rules of the game and help each other know the rules of the game, right? It's not just one person's responsibility. But that idea of immersion is difficult to fall on everybody. It's not something that's easily shared if you're the one who knows what's happening next, right? And so I often make jokes about what happens when your dungeon master flips on the creepy music. And music has such powerful psychological ties to how we're feeling that it has such an impact on our role playing, which in turn has an impact on our subconscious and our decision making, not just for us, but for our characters in the game who are in that moment. And it's a really great tool for pacing, which I think is something that a lot of dungeon masters, even experienced dungeon masters, really struggle with.
Yeah, I can't agree more. The pacing of the game, and a lot of folks don't realize this, but the dungeon master is kind of like the conductor. And in that fact that he does control, and she controls a lot of the pacing of the game. You can slow it down, you can speed it up. I like to look at it as a film director. If I see a scene is kind of getting bogged down or it's dragging out too long. And I can I try to read the mood of the table. And if people are if it seems dragging on, but everyone's having a great time, let it drag on. But
let it go. Yeah.
If they're not, though, it's time to change the tempo. That's when bad guys come crashing through windows and things start exploding and dragons fly overhead, whatever it takes to mix it up and get that tempo going. So, Jenny, how was it that you teamed up with Valiant Adventuring Co. To start making these battle maps? Well, how did that come about?
So I play Dungeons & Dragons primarily in person. I love that you can play online with everybody, and I will frequently play in a live stream or a charity game online. Or I like to guest as somebody's villain. I really like that, especially if I get to run the villain in combat too. I really like that. But I prefer to play in person. It's a different animal. It's far more visceral. It's so much more intense and emotional. I prefer to play in person, and my friends prefer to play in person. I've also been told it's because I'm old. And so because I prefer to play in person, I find that really, really great maps are everywhere for virtual tabletops. They are all over online, but they are very hard to come by in person for in-person games like posters. And you can get those, you know, those gridded maps when you can draw on them with your Expo marker, but they don't look amazing like they do online that are done by these professional artists across the world. And I want those. I want those really pretty maps. I don't want to be limited to this little like Pathfinder packet of fold out cartoony maps when I play a gritty realistic game. And so I thought there has to be a better way, because here's my stupid self going to the office supply store, buying these $15 posters to print out. $15 to print out a poster. I'm like, this is insane. And so I was like, there has got to be a better solution. This is so ridiculous. And so I found some really amazing map makers, and we got some licenses for them, and we started printing them en masse so that we could sell them super cheap for way under $15, for $10 or less to the public at large, because it was too silly to be paying that much money for gorgeous maps. They should be available to everybody.
That's terrific. And we're going to put the link to those in the show notes. That way people can find them real easy and hopefully get some of those maps to their tables as well. Thank you, Jenny. That's great.
And awesome. I'll help box them up for you guys too.
So you have just kind of had this whirlwind of from Twitch streaming to TikTok, and now your RPG map making. So it's just on and on and on. You have this special project that you're working on with helping survivors of domestic violence heal through Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop role-playing games. Jenny, tell us how this whole idea came about and where you're at in the project.
Survivors of domestic abuse and domestic violence is something that's really, really close to me, because it's something that I experienced and I went through. And I found myself healing through Dungeons and Dragons, and I probably wouldn't be as grounded and sane as I am today. One day, somebody sent me this video. Another dungeon master who happens to live in Lakeland, actually, sent me this video. And in the interview, in the video, I don't know, it was for some convention or something, and they interviewed this girl. And she says, you know what's really cool about Dungeons and Dragons? And she says, you fight the monsters in-game, but you can fight the monsters out of game. And I was like, wow, that really resonates with me. And I found myself finding the courage and the hope and the inspiration to keep fighting through what was happening in my imagination. And it was inspiring me to do that in my real life. If my character could do it through all that she went through or something like that. And I found that courage within me in my real life. And I knew I needed to pass that on to somebody. And there's a lot of power in that escapism that those young high schoolers taught me a long time ago. And I wanted to transfer that to somebody else. And most of the women that I have the opportunity to play Dungeons and Dragons with, they've never played a role-playing game before. They are overwhelmed by the rules and the dice and the concept of, you know, high fantasy wizards and dragons. And within the first hour, do like a lot of people do when you're confronted with something where you have the opportunity to be vulnerable is they make a lot of jokes. And within the second hour, they're really engaged. And by the third hour, we're all crying and we're all fighting for our lives against evil and overcoming. And I'm so glad that that's something that I get to share with others and help them on their journey, whether they take that back and share that with their children or they never play again or they play in their own home game from now on forever, wherever they take that. And I'm sure it's just so meaningful to me in a way that I get to give back and share this the way it's helped me with others.
I think that's wonderful. And, you know, we've talked on the show many times about Dungeons and Dragons and how tabletop role-playing games can help with mental health, with trauma, things like that. And I think one thing that you touched on that really resonates with me is that confidence that's built up at the game table and how you can take that experience from the game table away and then you can apply it in your own life. One of the things that my own daughter shared in her interview was that it gave her confidence not just to navigate in adult situations like going into a store and talking to a merchant or something like that, but also it made her feel comfortable dealing with conflict. The table helped her realize, hey, this is a better way to handle that communication than this way, because in game, there were these consequences that didn't bleed over into real life. And then she was able to learn from those experiences and then go out. Jenny, going back to your project with domestic violence survivors, can you share with us, without obviously betraying anyone's confidence, but can you share with us a moment that was extremely powerful to you while running the game, a breakthrough moment or an aha moment for one of your players or for yourself?
I feel like there's one or two every time we play, and there's always one for me. I'm always moved by the strength of these women and the things that they'll go to, the endless lengths that they'll go to protect their children. And that comes across so heavily when we play these games. And I have to be very, very sensitive when I run these games. So I try to avoid things like any, you know, child abuse or any like weird encounters with men or anything like that in the games. So I try to be very, very sensitive and try to make it a little less human, right? Because that kind of takes that element out of it. So instead of fighting the prince, will fight the dragon or something like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, we started at very, very low levels when we do these just for beginners. But I think some of the things that really stand out to me is the strength of these women comes across through the things that they say and the ways they try to opt out of conflict going into any scenario. And violence is always their last choice. But when it comes to defending their values and when it comes to sticking up for what's right, suddenly none of their players have gray area anymore. There is no true neutral with them. And they're almost like, no matter what they chose for their characters, they're all kind of their own paladins in the end. They're always choosing the side of what's right, and they will go nuclear for what's right. It's just, I don't know if it's like a mama bear button or what. And that always inspires me, their courage and the courage that they choose to give their characters in the face of adversity.
That is wonderful. And so Jenny, you've got all of these amazing projects going on. What is the future looking like for Punk Rock Jenny on TikTok and your inspirational dungeon master? And what's coming up next?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I think TikTok has changed over the years, and it means the way I interact with my audience has changed over the years. And I think we all know that all of these social media platforms and all of the ways that we interact with our audience have a shelf life. They have a lifespan, and just kind of like how Facebook is sunsetting now. My reach with TikTok hasn't stalled, but it's kind of where it is. And so I want to find new ways to explore the kind of like what you're doing, the healing impacts of tabletop gaming, and to be able to share that with my audience. And I'm not 100% sure what that looks like. So, hey, if you guys have any ideas, at Punk Rock Jenny on TikTok, you can let me know. But I really want to explore that aspect of it now that I know what it's done for me and the other women in my life. And I think I will have an, I get asked this all the time, which is, when are you going to stream another game? When are you going to stream another game? It's really hard when you have little kids to do like anything, not just stream a game, but like any, like you can't go to the bathroom by yourself, you know? So like, I can't remember. I was just telling somebody this the other day. I cannot remember the last time I showered by myself. So it's very difficult to live stream a regular game. And the players at my table, also have little children. So like, for us getting together bi-weekly, let alone weekly, is like a feat in and of itself. And so I think another live stream will be on the horizon, but I really, really want to do more with the correlation between music and Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not 100% sure what that looks like yet. I don't want to be, I think the space of like songwriting for Dungeons and Dragons is a really saturated space. So that's not where I want to go. But I think there needs to be a really cool defined space where people go to get their music for Dungeons and Dragons. So whether that's some type of platform, I'd love to be involved in that. And so I think there's so many things I just want to dip my hands into, but at the same time, I have such a great home game. I have such a cool life. And so I'm just so blessed, and I have so many great things going on.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you're doing for the gaming community, for how you're helping people through your platforms like TikTok and Instagram. And thank you so much for being here on the show today. We are so honored to have you, and we can't wait to see what's coming next.
It's my honor, Nick. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.